Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to this broadcast today. As you have already found out, Pastor Al is not in studio today. He is out and about, and he has asked me to fill in. My name is John Lutz. I pastor the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, and it is always a blessing and a privilege to fill in for Pastor Al. I appreciate his willingness to trust me with his broadcast to do that, and I'm thankful. He always many times fills in for me as well, which he'll do in a couple weeks. But it is good to be with you, and I hope that you'll be able to stick with us for the next half hour or so as we're going to get going in our study again that we started in the last half hour. We didn't get too far, only a couple points, but anyway, we'll rehash those and then finish up the list. We were talking about seven things Christians should never be ashamed of. And we'll get back to that in just a little bit. I do want to remind you that you can check out all the information about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church there in Richfield. And you can go to livewithpastoral.com. It'll have links to the church as well as all the broadcasts from both this show on Friday and also Sunday night. He is also here on 1220 AM The Word from 11 p.m. till midnight. And so you can always listen there, and his broadcasts are there as well, which I believe he is also on YouTube. So now you can watch him with the YouTube's videos that are posted there. But they do have a Bible study tonight, and it is at their location where they have church at the Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road. Again, that's Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road. And they meet together at 7 o'clock tonight, and it's a very informal setting. They oftentimes will take questions and study those things out and spend a couple hours out there. So if you have are looking to study your Bibles a little bit, we've got some gentlemen from our church that go out just about every week, and they enjoy going out, spending some time with Pastor Al out at their Bible study. So again, tonight, Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road. And by the way, that's where they have their church services as well on Sunday. And they have a 10 o'clock Sunday school hour, and they have an 11 o'clock service. And then they gather back together. I believe it's 6 o'clock in the evening. All the information will be at the end of the broadcast once again. But I hope you'll check out Pastor Al and pray for him. I can't remember why he said he wasn't going to be here. I know there was one of these days he was heading down to the State House because he was asked to pray for the session open up. And I don't know if that was today or not. But nevertheless, pray for Pastor Al and his dear wife, Kim, and as they travel back from wherever they're traveling from. So, but I appreciate the opportunity to fill in for him. Now, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I started the last half hour talking about seven things Christians should never be ashamed of. And just for sake of time, we're not going to read the scriptures again, but you can take time to read chapter 1. And there are many things that jump out to you that Paul was trying to encourage Timothy about and strengthen Timothy and remind him not to be ashamed. You know, people will try to make you feel strong. People will try to make you feel sometimes intimidated or ashamed of the positions you hold. And I think it's something as you get more mature, perfected, as the Bible uses the term here in this flesh, you begin to overcome those things. But sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. And it seems like that's what was happening with Timothy. And so Paul writes this letter to encourage him. He says, listen, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. He reminds him of his being raised in a Christian home, and we call that's his Christian inheritance, and that we should never be ashamed of our Christian inheritance. He goes on to say, be thou not ashamed, verse 8, of the testimony of our Lord. And so that was our Christian identity. We spent some time on that the last half hour. And now let's go on to point number 3, that Christians should never be ashamed when people who are serving God end up suffering for the faith. It says here, "Be thou not ashamed, therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." This is, we call this Christian injustice. Certainly this is an injustice. Paul is writing from prison because Paul was preaching the gospel. And anywhere in the world, when somebody goes to jail for preaching the gospel, it is an injustice that is done. And it is an injustice that parallels the injustice that was done to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I fear oftentimes we in America, we live in such a blessed land. I think there's people out there looking for persecution. I don't think we should go out looking for persecution. I think if we live the Bible and we live a godly life, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And it shouldn't cower us. It shouldn't cause us to fear. It shouldn't cause us to be ashamed of those who are suffering. But it should embolden us to be a partaker of those afflictions. And so Paul here is writing from prison just because he was living a Christian life. And thank God we don't have that today. We have it legislatively, and we have certainly an intensifying environment in which it appears. But I'll tell you, I think there's a resurgence of religious liberty going on. I think we're going to see, again, it's not immediate. You're going to see this over the long haul. I mean, look at the change of the judiciary. Look at some of the change going on with senators and with our congressmen and with governors and with state legislators. I mean, there's some incredible things that go on that people recognize that we need to protect it. And it's because some people are suffering because of Christianity. They are being oppressed. Masterpiece Cake Baker, the photographer, some of the others, some of the schools, and over the years have been threatened. Christian injustice oftentimes is the flames of passion and patriotism that causes us to rise up. And that's what injustice does, specifically when it's Christian injustice. So, you know, there were some that were ashamed that Paul was suffering. They were ashamed of Paul. Well, if he'd have done right, he wouldn't be suffering. He must have done something wrong. And they're ashamed of suffering. We should never be ashamed of Christian suffering, Christian injustice. Then we see here, it goes on to say in verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Can I tell you, Christians should never be ashamed of denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. They should never be ashamed of denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. This is called Christian inhibition. The word inhibition means prohibition or restraint. It's scary. It's fearful to see the amount of quote-unquote tolerance that goes on in quote-unquote Christian churches today. You say, well, why is that the case? Why does that happen? Why have we lowered our standards? Why have we opened the gates to allow almost a license to do that which God says don't be a part of? Well, it's easy, if you read your Bible, it's very easy to identify, because both in 2 Peter and in the book of Jude, God identifies for us what the problem is. And Jude, he says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Where'd they creep into? Among the believers, among Christian churches. And what did they do? "Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation," they're ungodly men, first of all, "turning the grace of God, our God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So they take grace. The word lascivious is the same word of licentiousness, which is giving a license. So you have preachers who are giving license to people to go out and sin willfully by not restraining worldly lust or denying ungodliness and worldly lust and embracing those things in the name of tolerance and moderation. Now, denying the only Lord God is an indicator they're denying his authority over their life. They're saying, I can do what I want, Sure, the Bible says that, but hey, we live in 2019, and so God would have never known. So I can do whatever I want. I can dress however I want. I can say whatever I want. I can go wherever I want. I can do whatever I want. That's the idea. That's denying the only Lord God. That's denying him. You're denying him the rightful authority and place in your life to dictate and tell you how to live your life so that he can bless you in a greater way. So that's how it happens. By the way, if you take notes, you can put a little note by Jude and put Titus chapter number 2 so that when somebody says, you know, hey, we live in this world, we can do whatever we want, you can take them over to Titus chapter 2 verse 11 that says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So that correlates with Jude because they're turning the grace. They're turning it into something it's not. Here's Paul defines what grace is. For the grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So you got clear-cut scripture that says you're supposed to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, which war against the soul, the Bible tells us. So we find here, this is Christian inhibition. By the way, that's what temperance is. Temperance is not moderation. It's not self-control. It's not, I can drink one beer and be okay. Temperance is, I'm going to abstain from alcohol because God says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It's not toleration or moderation. It's abstinence. It's the same idea behind crucifying the affections and the lust of the flesh. It's the same principle. It's the same truth. That's Christian inhibition, restraint, prohibition. You say, well, I have liberty. All things are lawful. Yeah, but not all things are expedient. And not all things, I will not be brought under the power of any. You want to see how much power is? Stop doing the thing that so easily besets you and see how much power you have over it. Go ahead, put those cigarettes down and see what happens in a day or two. Put that alcohol down and see what happens next time you get upset, have an argument, go through something. See what you run to and see how much power is over you. It's amazing how infantile we are in our thinking sometimes. Don't ever be ashamed of denying ungodliness. Don't ever be ashamed of saying no, and you shouldn't do that either. That's what sometimes, to me, that's what a friend does. Open rebuke is better than secret love, the Bible says. Isn't that the whole idea between iron sharpening iron? You know what? When iron sharp iron, I learned this in the last couple of years. When iron sharpens iron, sparks fly. Sometimes we think, well, bless God, I'm just going to put an arm around him. I'm going to love him through this. Well, if you love him, you're going to speak the truth to him. If you love him, you're going to contend with him. You're going to say, because you love them. You know, a parent who doesn't discipline or spares the rod for his child hates his child. I mean, the principle in scripture, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like on him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. It's right there. So listen, we ought to restrain the flesh. Don't allow the flesh to develop appetites that are going to overcome the spiritual part of your life. Christian inhibition. Don't be ashamed of denying ungodliness. Don't be ashamed of not being involved in Halloween stuff. Don't be ashamed of not being involved in certain entertainment things and stuff. Don't be ashamed of that, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to deny ourselves that. Let me show you another one here in verses 12 and 13. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Christians should never be ashamed of getting their morals, values, and strengths from God's promise. This is called Christian intention, a stretching or bending of the mind towards an object. He says, I know, I believed, I'm persuaded. That shows intention. And we don't have to be ashamed of, identifying with the morals and the values. You cannot separate moral behavior from the authority through which you got those morals and values. There's a great movie I watched years ago. It was called Time Changer. And it was about this man back in the set in the 1800s or early 1900s, somewhere in that range. And he wants to teach morals without authority. And the whole idea, the guy makes a time machine to take him forward in the years of what teaches moral behavior without authority. You know, to say thou shalt not steal without saying it was God who said it, all you're trying to do is improve human behavior. But without the authority of God, you can't have morals without God. He is the establisher and definer and distinction of morals. He's where we get our value from. We have no value. There's none good, none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. We have no value without Jesus Christ. He is the worth and the value that we have. So you cannot separate strength and morals and values apart from God. And yet today we have the infiltration in our churches of trying to teach some other spiritual type of strength outside of the authority of God's word. Almost like, hey, Jesus started it and you got to finish the whole thing. And man, you got to pull up your bootstraps and you got to be better and you got to think better and you got to have self-esteem and you got to have all these things. And it's the power of positive thinking. Don't be ashamed of getting your morals. God says what is right and what is wrong. Don't be ashamed of that. Because if you are, you're ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed of getting your morals or your values or your strength from God's promises. Let me give you another one here. Verses 15 and 16, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And so he identifies there some people who are adversarial towards Christianity. He said all of Asia is against him, and specifically names these two individuals. Christians should never be ashamed of separating themselves from those things or people who are adversarial towards Christianity. This is called Christian integrity. Christian integrity. Verse 14 says, that good thing which was committed unto thee keep. This is keeping the good thing and disposing of the bad thing. There's some bad people out there. There's some people who have ruined your testimony. There are some people in your life, family and friends and coworkers and neighbors. There are some people in your life who you are so attached to that they are hindering your Christian walk. And you need to get rid of them. You need to separate yourself from them as the Bible commands us to. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, that's easy. Just preach the word of God. Just live the word of God. And people will either get right with God and stop being adversarial, or they will leave you. But you are separating yourself just by implementing the word of God. You are separating yourself just by adhering to the word of God, because the world hates the word of God. It's the quickest way to get rid of friends who won't get away from you. Just live the word of God. They will feel so uncomfortable. They will mock it. They will just walk away. Or they'll start asking questions and you have an opportunity to lead them to Christ. Don't be ashamed of separating yourself from those. There's some preachers you have to separate. There's some ministries you have to separate yourself from. There's some ministries out there that I don't want to be identified with. I will now. There's some preachers I've had to stop fellowshipping with because I don't like the direction their ministry's going. You say, well, that's kind of mean. No, that's biblical, because God gives us discernment. And so it's a choice that you have to make. Don't be ashamed of separating yourself. The hardest place is with family. The Bible says that they of your own household are your greatest enemies. Why? Because you know them the closest. You love them the most. And so the distinction there oftentimes causes some fray. But God will help you and give you wisdom on how to handle that and to do that. And what he does, the first thing he does is he separates you from the world. And as Paul says, he was separated unto the gospel of God. So when you live the gospel, that's being separated from the world. That's Christian integrity. Keep the good things. Get rid of the bad things. That's Christian integrity. And then let me give you another one here. He mentions a man who I butcher his name every time I say it, but Onesiphorus, of a good man who was a beneficial man and very instrumental with Paul. And he says here in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. That when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now, let me tell you this last one here. Christians should never be ashamed of those who love the Lord and inspire you through their actions. Here was a man that is known, we know 2,000 years later, we're learning about this guy. You know, 1,900 and some years later, a man named Onesiphorus, who was very beneficial and was a benefit to Paul, was a blessing to Paul. And Paul is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to identify this individual so that you and I could be inspired by his works and his blessings and his purpose and his unashamedness. So this is called Christian inspiration. Christian inspiration. I'm so glad that our God is alive. As the movie put out there, what, God's not dead, right? He's fully alive. He is alive today. And we don't have to be ashamed of that at all. Because God breathes life into us. You know, there's times in our Christian walk, if you've been saved for any length of time, you've had times of incredible bountifulness, and you've had times of barrenness. And that's part of the pattern of the Christian life. And by the way, you can have joy in both of those. You can have peace in both of those, and you can have righteousness in both of those. But throughout our life, God will breathe life into us in different ways. There may be times you're reading your Bible and you're really not getting much out of it, and then all of a sudden you start reading it and God's just pouring things out of it so much there's not even room enough to receive all of the things that he's given to you. And he's inspiring you, he's encouraging you, he's teaching you, he's breathing life into you. We should never be ashamed of the life of Christ. Never be ashamed of the breath of God upon our life through the Holy Spirit. Don't be ashamed of what the Holy Ghost will do through you and for you and in you and to you. The Holy Ghost will cause you to say amen when everybody else is sitting around looking on their phones. He'll cause you to start praising him in the midst of a supermarket and just thanking him and praising him because you get a phone call from somebody sharing a blessing and you just start praising God and the Holy Spirit is on you and the fear of God comes upon you and you start living right and it's the breath of God. It's Christian inspiration. Don't ever be ashamed of that. I think today Christians, they don't want to suffer. They're ashamed of suffering. And when you get to the point where you're ashamed of suffering, you won't refresh anybody. We don't have time to go there, but I have a message I thought about doing today was how to prevent from becoming good for nothing out of Matthew chapter 5, I think it is, where the salt is good, but if it loses its savor, it's to be trodden out and is good for nothing. And when you're good for nothing, you try to find something to be good at, and you're going to compromise. But if you stay faithful to the Word of God, one, if you're born again, and you have to be born again in order to go to heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Those are God's words. That's Jesus's word. You have to wrestle with that. You have to figure out what that is. God, if you seek after it, God will show you what it means. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Everyone that believed on his name. It's a spiritual birth. It's not through works. It's not through being a good person. It's not through giving a lot of money. It's not by getting in a ministry. It's by being saved. And if you are saved, man, let people know it. Live right. Love right. Speak right. Do what God's called us to do. And God will use you to make a difference in people's life. But don't focus on making the difference. Focus on the Lord. And he's the one that makes the difference. And you'll see your family members start asking questions or coming to Christ or coming to church and hearing about God. You'll see your coworkers. You'll see a difference in your life because you put Jesus Christ first. We've got nothing to be ashamed of. And as things get even worse in our world, don't get ashamed. Get unashamed. You'll be more bold for the Lord. Thank you so much for listening. Thank Pastor Al for letting me fill in. Stay tuned. Pastor Rusnacko is coming up next. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.